Turn your Bibles this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want to read 6 verses in this chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Paul says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, as we come to this text, I do pray, O Lord, that you would teach us and show us wondrous things out of your word. Do pray, Lord, that you would open up our hearts that we might receive the word. May it be, O Lord, that even this day you would transform us and make us more and more into your image. Lord, we do pray that as we study, you would give us focus, you would give us concentration, and may it be, O Lord, that these words would be precious to our own hearts. Instruct us, teach us. You are the only one, Holy Spirit, that teaches. It isn't the preacher. It is you and you alone. And so we come and we cry to you. May this be a blessed time together around your word in your precious name. Amen. As we come to this section of Paul's teaching, Paul is going to be establishing the content and success of true biblical preaching. There was at Corinth a matter of division and contention. So often in churches you'd find that, where there is some disagreement and there is contention among those within the congregation. And they are ones who are being contentious over those who are preaching the word of God. So we read in chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment." Here they were having different ones who were preaching there at Corinth, and they weren't on the same page. They were preaching different things. And what it amounted to, as he develops all the way through chapter 1 and then where we are, is that they were preaching, many of them, that wisdom that comes from man and not from God. And so the apostle is saying to them, "Listen, brethren, listen, that you be preaching the very same thing, that there be no contradiction, the same judgment, that is." And so he says in verse 11 of that chapter, as we continue in chapter 1, he says, "For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, 'I am Paul, I am Apollos, or I am Cephas, and I am Christ.'" See, there was division. And there were those that gravitated to one preacher or the other. And what they were saying, there was infighting. And they were not governed by the wisdom of Christ or the wisdom of the cross, but by human wisdom. They were involved in the matter of of being eloquent and oratory, because you see, in that day it was important to gain status and to gain position, and so they were competing against each other, and that must not be. And that's why the Apostle Paul says in chapter 2 and verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That is, my preaching is going to be centered in the gospel of Christ. That's it. In the Word of God. That's it. I am not going to give my opinion. The content of preaching is to be Christ. Not a demonstration of how eloquent we can be. And therefore, here Paul says in verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human." Of human. Persuasive words. That is, that I was not adding unto the gospel. I was not giving my opinion. I was not fluctuating my voice so that you just are enamored. You know, the speaker, and he speaks, and you, "Oh, wow, isn't that fantastic? Look at how he speaks. Look at how he conducts himself." I've heard before someone says, "Well, I like this preacher because I like his Irish accent." Really? Really? And that's not where it is. He says it is the preaching of the gospel. It is found in Christ and Christ alone. Paul was not eloquent in his speech. They would say, "You can't speak very well." But that isn't the point. It is the content that is important. The power that they sought, those causing division, was the audience and the round of applause. And the way that they came up and said, "Oh, that's so great, preacher." The congregation was being, as it were, in conflict there, because there were those that were preaching not according to the Word of God, but with persuasive words and cleverly. "No," says Paul, "you are to preach the Word of God alone," 2 Timothy chapter 4. Now, what does Paul say regarding the preaching, success of preaching? Is the preaching in my coming and trying to persuade you, is that going to cause preaching to succeed? I'm going to persuade you. I'm going to do some arguments so you say, "Wow, what an intelligent man he is." Am I going to give words that are just my opinion, and I think this and I think that? Is that going to change your life? Is that going to be that which comes to you from God and makes your heart to love Him? No, no, says Paul. Here's true biblical preaching. True biblical preaching is that which concentrates upon the Word of God alone, upon Christ alone, upon the gospel alone, and as the one preaches, it is not with persuasive eloquence, although Paul is not against an eloquent man. But if that is what you're resting on, no, no, it is not. What does he say? He says in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 2, "And my speech," that is my preaching, "were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power." That's it. That's it. When I preach, I'm nothing. When I preach, my job, my responsibility is to preach Christ, is to preach the Word of God. And in that preaching, it is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, who comes and applies that word and gives that word power to come to the heart and affect the heart and turn the heart, whether it is for salvation in Christ or whether it is in holiness. It is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God attends my preaching. That's why I go about preaching the Word of God. That's why preaching is so vital, so important in the life of God's people and those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's in that context of preaching Christ that you have the powerful demonstration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes and takes that word. The man may not be eloquent at all. It is the content. It is the gospel. It's not found in him. I have no ability to change your mind or your heart. It is the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God alone. Listen to how God deals with Moses in Exodus, the fourth chapter. In Exodus, the fourth chapter, here's what we read. In verse 10 of Exodus 4, then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And some of us know what that is. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now therefore, go, I will be with you and with your mouth, and teach you what you shall say. And he goes on, Moses does, to where God is displeased with him. But you see, God is saying to him, Moses, yeah, you can't speak very well. Yeah, I mean, people may say, well, he's dull. And what happens in our day? People gravitate to those ones, oh my, they just have all the words and they're just so, I mean, beautifully said and eloquent. And Moses, I can't speak. I have difficulty. Lord says, I will put your words in your mouth. I will give you the words. I will show you what to say. And so it is in the preaching of the gospel. It is not in man, but in God's power that the Corinthians were converted. That's the demonstration. You say, well, Paul, how do you know that your preaching is a success? My preaching is a success because those in the church of Corinth are believers. They love the Lord. They're following after him, which in turn is a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what he says, the apostle, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. He says this, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Notice, the main focus of ministry is preaching, preaching, preaching. It's not going about in Bible studies. It's not going about just impersonally talking with people, although those things have their importance in their own right. But the primacy of preaching, the importance of preaching, is that he says, but what am I called to? Well, if I had to summarize, if I had to say, says Paul, it is the preaching of the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be no effect. Why is it that pastors get up and they preach and they just say, well, let me tell you this story. Let me tell you that story. And then they say, well, you know, I think this. And if you want my opinion, I think if you do this and you do that. And why is it that in the context of that so-called preaching, nothing happens in the congregation. The congregation comes in and goes out the same way. The congregation has no conviction at all. Men and women can sit in their sin. This is what many desire. Many desire to have a title going to heaven where they can make sure that they're going to get to heaven, but they don't want to leave off of their sins. They love their sins. They love what they're doing. They know it's wrong, and they love to sit where it has no effect upon them. And they can go away and say, oh, that was such a blessed service. Why, I was just so blessed. Well, what do they mean? They were entertained. That is, they were given man's wisdom. And man's wisdom, a lot of times, identifies with our wisdom because we're men and women. And so, oh, that is just great. But is it the Word of God? And so often, it is not the Word of God. And the Spirit of God showing His power will only come by way of truth. That's it. The Spirit of God will not sanctify, will not redeem sinners apart from truth. Truth. That's it. He doesn't work outside of that. It is truth. And the gospel is what the apostle says that he preaches. Therefore, he says, I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And then notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 6. And again, I misspoke, as I seem to do in at times. Let's go to chapter 1. Instead of 5. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 1 verse 5. Here's what Paul says. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, in much conviction, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. The gospel, it didn't come in words. It isn't by words. It isn't just words. It isn't just preaching. But it came with power. Power from what? Power from the Holy Spirit. And what is the effect of that? Verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 1. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. It led to your salvation. It led to your turning from sin unto the living God. Preaching, my preaching, is through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our gospel comes to you in such a manner. In the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, he says in verse 5, for neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak for covetousness. I didn't come and try to make you clap for me. I didn't come here to try to make you to praise me. No. And say all these kind words about me. And I didn't come covetously. I didn't come because the more people I have, the greater the income of the church, and the greater my salary, and I will get more and more money with more and more people. There wasn't any covetous spirit. No, says Paul, none of this. God is witness. Nor did we seek the glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles, but we were gentle among you, and so forth. Didn't receive glory. My gospel, it is this word that the apostle speaks of. And then in Romans 10, look at the way that the apostle Paul speaks of the preaching of the Word of God. Here in Romans chapter 10, in verse 14, this is what he says. He says, and then, back up to verse 13. For whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's correct. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? That is, they don't know anything about him. How in the world are they going to call upon him? If they never know anything about Jesus, how are they going to call? And then he goes on, he says, how shall they believe in him? How in the world are they going to have faith in him, and of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? All of these questions demand one response alone, and that is impossible. Impossible. For you see, hearing the Word of God is critical. You must hear the Word of God. It doesn't say simply to sit and have something come upon you like a cloud that suddenly opens up everything to you. No, you have to hear it. You have to hear the Word of God. You have to hear the words of the gospel. And how in the world are you going to do that without a preacher? Now, see, beloved, here is where is one text where Paul shows, is there any other way of communicating the gospel? We would say yes. Yes, there are some other ways. But Paul, he doesn't mention any other way. He mentions the preaching of the Word of God, and the preaching of the Word of God by one who is sent. When the Lord Jesus Christ has come to build his church in a local context and brings together the local church, he assigns to that local church and body of believers men that he has sent. Is Jesus just playing games? Is he just bored that he's just going to do that, but it has absolutely no consequences at all? Or is there something to that? Well, there is something to that, says Paul, because as men are sent of God, and they must be sent of him and have the qualifications that he lays down, as they come and preach the word, that it's in that context that men and women hear it. And after they hear it, the Spirit of God comes and changes the heart where they accept the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It changes their life. But there is this process that must be there, says the apostle. Therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God is critical for ones to hear. Hearing without a preacher. Primary means. And then God says in Revelation 2:1 that among the churches, the Lord Jesus walks. And what does it mean by that? It means that within the context of a local church, there is that influence of the Spirit of God. There is that unique presence of God. And there he walks among his people. He knows what you're thinking. He knows exactly what you're doing. Right now he knows everything. He's walking among his people. And as he walks among his people, and his servants come and preach his word, it is the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit alone in his power displayed that changes the hearts of sinners. And that presence of God is felt. It's not felt in a Bible study. It's not felt at home. Yes, we do feel the Lord speaking to us through the Word when we're reading the Word in our living room. Yes, we can, but there is a unique sense here. There is that which the Lord has so provided when he has established his local congregation, the preaching of the Word of God. And he has sent, and Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, you know what I do? When I'm preaching, I'm standing in the stead of Christ. Christ is speaking through me. I'm not Christ. No, not at all. But the Lord speaks through me by his word, and he speaks words of grace. And so, therefore, Paul is saying here in our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that my preaching is in the context and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Now, there's certain things we must clear up as we look by way of application, and it is this. First of all, there must be the preaching of the gospel. When we sit in a church, do we examine what is being preached? Do we demand that those who are preaching prove from Holy Scripture? Do we know what is being said? They must be preaching truth, the gospel. It can't be their own thoughts, their own wisdom, church tradition. This is what we always do. No, it is what does the word say. So that's the first thing we must keep in mind when Paul says, I am determined simply to preach Christ. And then secondly, this is what gave Paul the great freedom. He stands and he begins to preach Christ, the gospel. And he begins to say, listen, all are born dead in sin. That is, you're not seeking after God. You don't love God. Oh yeah, you wave to him once in a while, but you don't know him. You don't obey him. You've rebelled against him. And Paul can say with conviction, as the gospel does, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. Listen, if you're going to be right with the living God, you must come to Jesus Christ. And you can only come to Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit of God. You can only come to him. You come to him through faith, through repentance. You come and you must know who he is. You must know who Jesus is. You must know why you're coming to him. And you must come to him in repentance, turning from your sins. Well, preacher, I don't even know what you're talking about, because I don't know sins. What would he mean, sins? Rebellion against him. Well, what would he mean, rebellion? Well, the scriptures gives us within the scriptures what it is to rebel and sin, the breaking of God's law. And when the Spirit of God in preaching the gospel gets a hold of a sinner, makes that sinner be convicted in heart to say, you know what? I know the scripture says that I'm rebellious, and yes, I don't fear him. I'm not seeking him. I'm not doing what he says. I'm living my life according to way that I want. I know that I am not praying to him with my whole heart. I know I don't have a relationship with him, and the Spirit begins to work and begins to move, and then the Spirit says, you know what, this is why it's so important. It isn't just simply getting to heaven. It is that those who are rebellion against God are underneath his wrath. People don't like to hear about the wrath of God. You love to hear about the love of God, not the wrath. But the judgment is coming, and sinners will stand before the Lord God. And in that standing before him, he will pour out his anger and his wrath, justly so. Is exactly what sinners deserve, because he has said, if you sin, you shall surely die. And men have said, I don't care what you say, God, I'm I'm going to sin anyway because I love to sin. And God says, then you have to pay the penalty. You have to pay the penalty. And the penalty is eternal destruction in hell. And then God says, now I don't want you to be ignorant of it. But he shows in the scriptures what hell is. You know that there's no fear of hell in our day? We use hell to curse people out, don't we? But why do we use that to curse somebody out? If you're mad at somebody and you say to them, go to hell, why do you say that? Well, because, you see, without even knowing everything about hell, one thing you know, it's not a good place. It's not a good place. So if you're angry at someone and you send them there, you know they ain't going to have a picnic. You know that it's not going to be good for them. But the scripture says, in reality, the Lord says, oh, you don't want to be there. That lake of fire that never, never, never goes out, the pain and anguish that you will always be, the hatred that you will have. You will hate each other in hell. You will be like mad dogs that are foaming at the mouth. You will grit your teeth at Almighty God. You will remember all the times that the gospel was preached to you, and yet you did not respond, but you just sat there, and you did not come to Jesus, and you did not at all worry about your life. And when God says the judgment is coming and it's appointed unto men once to die, and at the judgment you say, well, I don't care, I got a lot of time yet, I don't care, Lord. And the Lord says, what do you mean? You can't boast yourself of tomorrow. How do you know what is going on tomorrow? And the Lord brings out his gospel to a sinner, and the Spirit of God comes and begins to convict and begins to work and begins to say, as the man or the woman considers what is being preached, listen, listen, God is speaking to you. God is speaking to you. You must turn. Is your life going in a direction that will lend you in eternal destruction? Listen, listen, you must pay attention. And Paul says, this is why I preach. This is why I preach. I preach because I love the souls of men. I preach because I want to see souls converted. And I preach knowing that it's not my words, it's not my gifts, it's not what I can do, but it's the Spirit of God. And he has promised to come and demonstrate that Spirit in the context of preaching. And for a child of God, oh, how preaching is so, so precious. I don't want to miss preaching. I don't want to miss, because as God comes by way of his word, and as the word comes forth and is preaching, I want to sit where the Spirit will come and demonstrate that power. Demonstrate that power. If I'm sitting somewhere else, no, there's no power coming. I may sit and meditate upon the Lord, and I may sing a few songs or whatever. No, but in the context of authoritative preaching of the Word of God, the Spirit of God begins to lay hold and show the inner parts of the heart where you cry out, oh God, have mercy upon me. You cry out, dear Lord, this is the direction. You are right in your word. I have sinned against you in this area, that area. And Lord, Lord, that you would forgive me, that you would by your blood cleanse me. And I am determined to turn, and I'm determined to go in the right direction. There is that conviction. There is that conviction. And it's all in the context of the preaching of the Word of God. Now, this doesn't mean that the Spirit of God is automatic. It doesn't mean that. So you can sit here this morning and the Word of God can have no effect upon you whatsoever. You come, you go, and it was nothing. It doesn't mean that every time the Word is being preached, that suddenly the Spirit's going to come in power. But it does mean that the Spirit does come in great power of grace and of mercy, quickening and changing the heart. And therefore, what is it? I want to be there. I want to be there. And I want my family to be there. I want my children to be there. I want them to be under the preaching of the Word of God. So often, and it's my background. My background, it was just commonly believed that children, they can't understand anything. Children, they don't know anything. They don't know anything. No. But they know, I mean, look at this age. They know how to work a cell phone better than anyone. They know, as they sit before the TV, everything that goes on. Oh, they understand everything. Oh, yes, they know. No. And God's Word says, the Spirit of God is not limited. The Spirit of God doesn't come and say, I will demonstrate my power in the congregation, but when it comes to children, I back off. No, we'll wait for a little bit. Doesn't do that. The Spirit comes and saves and brings sinners to Christ. He is the one, no matter what age. And therefore, I want to be there. Therefore, I want my family to be there. And therefore, I want them to hear. It's amazing what children can pick up. It's amazing. It's amazing. Just think of that. Have a child in the home, and you're talking husband and wife. And suddenly that child repeats what you're talking. You say, what? They were listening? I mean, they understood? Yeah. Smarter than what we think. We want to be there. The family, believers. We want unconverted people. We go to the mission. We don't go to the mission because they pay us. We don't go to a mission because they all come up and just applause and claps. No. Many of them at times don't like what's being said. We go to the mission because as we preach the gospel, we know that there is this power of God, the Holy Spirit, who will attend the gospel, convict sinners, and that's our prayer. Lord, come down and save sinners. Lord, come down and sanctify those who are unbelievers. And we go with great expectation because our God is a great God. And the Spirit of God works. And God says, in all of my counsels and what I have determined, I will see none of my chosen people fail to come. I will bless and I will pour out my Spirit. Men sit at a pool in Scripture, and they wait for that pool. When the Spirit is there, and if they can get in, they'll be healed. Not everyone can get in right away. But if there's a possibility, that my loved one can be saved under the preaching of the gospel, I want him there. I want them there. That's it. I want them there. I will do everything in my power to have them sit under the preaching of the Word of God. Paul says, this is where it's at. And you at Corinth, look, you got to start being on the same page. Look, you got to get away from human persuasion and human wisdom. That does nothing. What is it causing at the Church of Corinth? But conflict. It's causing, well, I'm of this preacher, I'm of that preacher, and because he's so much more eloquent. And Paul says, no, listen, focus. This is what ought to be, that I determine nothing but to preach of Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel. And you know what? I preach. It is the Spirit in his power that convicts and converts. And with that, I'm happy. I'm happy. People say, well, I was in the church and I was saved. And they say, Preacher Henry saved me. Really? Preacher Henry saved me? No! An instrument in the hands of the Holy Spirit, at best, it is the Holy Spirit that quickens and that makes alive. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. And that's what makes grace so rich. So when we come to worship together, we come in a very unique context. We come to worship our God, to praise Him, to sing to Him. But we come, blessed Holy Spirit, take the word powerfully to my heart. Change me. Move me. That's the prayer. Or did you come this morning? Well, I got to go to the service. I got to be there. And you're just here for a service. Where is your heart? Are you right with God? Do you know the right way? Narrow is the way. Because you cannot come by your works or by your effort totally of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have your heart been moved? Are you walking according to the gospel? All of us, this is what we pray for. It's what we pray for. And we pray that the preaching of the Word of God would have this effect upon us. What a blessed day it is when any one of us who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ can go home and say, Lord, you're changing me. I've been thinking, I've been acting, I've been going in the wrong direction. Lord, move me. Move me. Make your word precious to me. Oh yeah, I read devotions here. No. Make your word precious. Do I have times of prayer? Do I really seek you with my whole heart? Lord, that you would give me that heart and give me that grace. The word of God. How much difference has the preaching had upon you? Since you've been hearing preaching, how much? May God grant to us an understanding and appreciation for the preaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you so much for your mercy to us. Help us, Lord, as we preach your word, that as the gospel goes forth, that you would change hearts. There are hearts that need to be changed. There are hearts that have no thought of you, that are dead in sin, and we pray that you would change hearts. And there's hearts, Lord, of your people that we need to be revived. We need to be stirred up. We need, Lord, your mercy. And so we call upon you, dear God, Holy Spirit, that you would so move and so work that we might, even this day, be transformed. In your precious name, amen.